Our community connection is in Luzerne County, where Justin Mattis, founder of Super Sundays, took conversation over a bowl of soup to a new level. Justin Mattis takes the story from here.
Super Sundays is spelled S-O-U-P-E-R. The whole history of the organization started with my making some soup for my mother, who's long since passed away. But at the time, she was living in a high-rise, and as a lot of folks who get older develop lack of an appetite, the only thing she would eat would be something that I made or peppermint patties. Didn't matter if anything that I made was good or not, but my son made it for me. So I do like to cook, and it would be easy to make a big batch of soup, whatever's left over from Sunday dinner, and maybe I'd make it on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I'd usually go over on Sundays, and I'd have a shopping bag, maybe with some milk or whatever, but six or eight of these little containers of soup. And invariably, I'd get on the elevator, and the proverbial little old lady or little old man would be waiting to get on the elevator. And so on the ride up, I'd always offer somebody a container of soup. I'd say, oh, do you like chicken noodle soup? Oh, yeah. And they never turned me down. So that was kind of the beginning of this idea for a nonprofit to engage disadvantaged people, so not just elderly. So that's kind of a brief history of the organization and what we do.
First of all, I love the idea, and I think that was a very kind thing to do for your mom, just to make sure she was eating properly, which right. is a very important thing. So how has Super Sundays gone from cartons of soup in the elevator of a high-rise to what it is today?
Super Sundays is a 501c nonprofit. We have a modest website that always needs updating, but the basics are there. We have an advisory board. I do work at Wilkes, so I lean heavily into Wilkes and its manpower and brain power and moral support. The original idea actually was to involve other nonprofits. And so, for example, have, say, some folks from the Rotary Club come sit down and share a bowl of soup with several folks in a community room in one of these high rises. But logistically, it didn't work. You talk about the pivot, another popular word in our COVID days, right? Everybody had to pivot. Well, this is just after COVID, but we quickly had to pivot to a different model, shall we say. And the other funny thing is, our first building was Dan Flood Towers in Kingston. We still serve our clients there. It's about 240 apartments. We serve about 70 meals on average once a month. So we buy commercially prepared soup. And I've deliberately kept the logistics simple. Somebody will say, well, what about bread? I said, well, then we need butter, we need knives. It's just soup. The soup is the hook to get our clients out of their apartments, interact with each other, but also the folks who help serve the soup. And specifically, the main group I have now, I'm also the faculty advisor to the women's soccer team at Wilkes. So my young ladies come, and I don't need the whole team. Three or four students come once a month, and they serve the soup. And we do the same building every month. I always say I'd rather do one building 10 times than 10 buildings. I teach business, and a lot of times one of the mistakes that businesses make is that they don't plan for success. They're always worried about failure. I planned not to be successful. I don't want the organization to get too big and too unwieldy. Now, we do have a second building, Lincoln Apartments, also in Wilkes-Barre. And that also is led by a group of students, and in particular, the president's wife, Angela Kant. She leads a group of presidential scholars. In past years, I actually had four different buildings. I had the Hospitality Club of Wilkes students do a building on Park Avenue, and then I had some of the staff from Volunteers of America do another building in Wilkes-Barre. But it's interesting, though, yes, we probably could do more fundraising and get bigger, but I'm one guy, and it's not that I'm afraid to let go, but we're in a good place right now. We've received two $5,000 grants from the Luzerne Foundation, and then we've done some modest fundraisers. I've had more than a few of my friends do a Facebook fundraiser for their birthday, for example, and we're always appreciative of that. So, and we've had some other corporate sponsors.
Food is the great unifier. Food brings people together, and food brings people out of a shell.
Oh, absolutely.
And especially when you're dealing with elderly people who they might be by themselves, their children might be out of town. They're the only ones in that apartment.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see when you give them that bowl of soup?
They see the young faces, and they're bright and energetic. And people will say thank you, like in the look in the eye. And you can't help but get goosebumps sometimes. One of the gentlemen not too long ago, he said, thank you for remembering us. He said, people forget about us. And that's one of those moments where it's like, you know you're doing a good thing, you know you're doing the right thing, but I feel like I always want to be modest about what we're doing. We're not solving world hunger, peace in the Middle East, but we do make an impact when and where we go. The other thing that makes fundraising easy for me, I think, is we have a secret mission. And the secret mission really is, what are we teaching the young students that go and do this volunteer work? They're learning, they're experiencing that connection to a vulnerable population, a population that is often forgotten, alone. And they also learn that, well, you don't need $1 million to make an impact. You know, for $3, maybe $3.50 now, we can put a smile on someone's face. And the other fun thing is, I like when the events are a little messy and chaotic. It's better that way. I don't want it to be like a well-oiled machine. So if we burn a little of the broccoli cheese soup, or, you know, we run out of whatever, and we always have two choices too. That's the other thing. People like a choice. So we just make a point to have two different kinds of soup. Broccoli cheese is by far the favorite, but we switch it up. And the soup is fantastic too. We buy it at a local restaurant supply place. And again, it's a real simple approach.
I love the simplicity of it, but I also love the idea, the intent behind it,
yeah,
where the kids are learning about dealing with an older generation, knowing that someday they may be in that position too.
Oh, yeah.
What do you hear from the kids? How have they grown from this?
Well, you can see it. It's not so much what they say, but how they act. They'll come again. They'll do it a second time, a third time. I never lack for volunteers. One of the things that I was really thrilled about, and once again, every now and again, we have to pivot. So our one building had a little bit of a flood in the community room / kitchen, so we couldn't use it. But we wanted to get back in, like, hey, well, you know, we haven't seen our clients in a couple of months. Well, let's do a cookout in the parking lot. We did hamburgers and hot dogs, ice cream sundaes, chips. It was great. And I said to the soccer coach, I said, give me all the freshmen. We had 12 or 13 freshmen this year, and let them dive right in. So all the young ladies came, and my wife came along to help. And I was the grill master, but the ladies did everything else. And we had tables set up outside. And so we would bring the food to everyone. So the whole evolution took maybe 2 hours from start to finish. So everything's packed up, we're ready to go. And three or four of the young ladies were still there. And you could tell they were like truly engaged. And I think they loved it. And they'll ask the students questions. You know, where are you from? And how's the soccer team doing? And what's your major? So there's a lot of fuel for conversation on the part of who we put in front of our clients, whether it's the women's soccer team or the hospitality club.
What a terrific form of outreach.
Yeah.
This is fabulous. And a lot of people maybe are by themselves, and this is maybe an only opportunity that they have to speak with somebody about a different topic aside from medical ailments or doctor's appointments,
truth.
You know?
Yeah. One of the other things you would notice if you went in these high rises, and what triggered this memory or this thought was you talking about medical appointments. One of the other reasons why I focused on Sunday is it's the loneliest day of the week in that building. Monday through Friday, you're right, they've got doctor's appointments or someone, you know, visiting nurse to come in and do a blood draw. Maybe a family member will come pick them up to go grocery shopping on Saturday. And sometimes family comes over on Sunday. But typically on a Sunday, you could hear a pin drop. And you don't have to wait for an elevator because everybody's just kind of locked in their apartments on Sundays. Now, I wish logistically we could maybe do Sunday more often, but they still appreciate whatever we do, whenever we do it. The other thing we'll do is we'll kind of do a play on words. In the summer, we became Scooper Sundays, scooping ice cream. In about 2 weeks, we'll be Super Subs. We're going to make subs.
Nice.
And again, we'll have two choices. We're going to have turkey and cheese sub or Italian sub.
It's interesting because you're one of the few nonprofit organizations that doesn't say, you know, we don't have enough volunteers. You've got a lot of volunteers,
a lot
of people helping you out, which is great. But what are you learning from this exercise? I know that you helped your mother, and maybe this is reminiscent of that, but as you're doing this more and more, and you're touching more and more people that you don't even know,
right?
How is that impacting you?
It feels nice, you know? I think I'd be foolish if I didn't admit I've been pretty lucky. Whether it's just had a nice education, I've got a nice career, a nice family, and yeah, it's nice to share.
The most important commodity is time. You're taking your Sunday that you can be relaxing, resting, putting your feet up, and you're going out and you're doing outreach to other individuals who might be alone because you realize that.
Yeah. The other thing is, back to fundraising, part of the pitch is the bang for the buck. We don't need a lot of money to have that impact. Month after month, year after year, we're, I think, good stewards of our sponsors in terms of how we manage our money. I mean, we really have no marketing budget or anything. And I help out the nonprofit with a little donation from time to time. And you always wish you could do more.
If you could tell me in a compact phrase what the overall mission of Super Sundays does.
We serve soup and smiles. Soup and smiles.
The stories that you hear, though, how have they moved you? Sometimes people are alone and Sunday is the loneliest day. Maybe you've gotten into a conversation with someone sitting having a bowl of soup. What do you learn from them?
Life experiences. Our clients, they're not just elderly. Some of them are young but disabled, or they're recovering from, frankly, drug addiction or substance abuse. Our clients are black, white, young, old, gay, straight, you name it. So you get to hear all their stories, and you can't help but be moved by it, touched by it. Again, I think it teaches all of us to be thankful for what we have, too.
On the heels of Thanksgiving, it couldn't have been a better story to share with you today. Special thanks to Justin Mattis, the president and founder of Super Sundays, where food and new friendships come together over a simple bowl of soup. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.